during this period.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's my pleasure to come to Hughes Institute to present my talk today. So I'm going to talk about algebraic high index theorems. So this is a quite old theorem proved by Kahn and Moscovici about 20 years ago. So today I'm going to use a kind of new point to study this index theorem through deformation quantization point of view. And through this approach, I would like to show you the rule about pseudo-differential operators and simple calculus in the study of index theory. And I must point out, this approach using deformation quantization to study index theory has started long time ago by Fedosov and Lessig-Chigan. So actually the theorem I'm going to state today about manifold case was originally proved by Lessig-Chigan. So what I want to present today is a kind of new proof using the recent development about the understanding of cyclic co-cycles on deformation quantization. And through this approach, I wanted to kind of present to you the role of Galois-Fuchs theory and those formal differential geometry in the computation of the algebraic index. So here I co-author this joint work with Marcus Flamm and Hansel Postuma. So we have a preprint on the archive. If you are interested, you are welcome to read it. So here I have outlined the plan of my talk. So my plan is to, in this first three parts, to give you a kind of full account about this algebraic high index theorem, how do we to approach it from deformation quantization point of view. And in the last part, I will try to explain how do we collect, how do we relate this algebraic approach to the original Kahn's original analytic approach. How do we relate to these two approaches? So finally, I would hope to convince you our method can be extended to orbifolds to prove a kind of higher index theorem for orbifolds, generalizing the theorem by Kawasaki. Okay? So let me start with the first part. So our study is about deformation quantization and index theorems on symplectic manifolds. So for general symplectic manifolds, there's a very famous theorem. We know locally for symplectic manifold, we have double charts. So locally, they are just like a standard symplectic vector space. So in the first part, what I'm going to working on is essentially local computations. We're going to look at what's going on at in the local charts. So in this transparency, I briefly record the definitions of wire algebras, which has been reviewed this morning. So here I consider symplectic vector spaces. So we're having a bilinear antisymmetric two form here, which is the standard symplectic two form. And we're considering, here I'm doing polynomial algebras. You can, later on I'm going to extend to formal algebras, formal power theories. And on this space of polynomial functions on this vector space, we are introducing a new product. So this is a non-commutative product. So here we are using this Poisson tensor, this alpha, which can be viewed as an inverse of this symplectic two form. Here there are five derivations, and the originally we have a two form. Okay. So what do you want to think about this? If you want to think about this classical canonical quantization, we can think about this one algebra is just the algebra of differential operators on Rn. So I'm going to come back to this later in this talk. Okay, so this will actually play some role in the later.
This is composition of differential operators.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So given such algebra, we want to study its cohomology theory. So this computation of cyclic cohomology and homology has been known for a long time. Actually, I think it goes back to Feigen and Chigan in their study of computation of cohomology of these algebras. So the idea of computing these algebras is using the H-bar filtrations. So we have an algebra filtered by this H-bar filtration, so we can take spectral sequence. So you can prove that this spectral sequence will degenerate, and we have only non-trivial cohomology at one dimension, essentially. So here, essentially the top dimension here. So what is in to construct the cyclic co-cycles, not just these vector spaces. So for the cyclic homology, their generators is kind of easy to find. So this was actually used by less than Chigan in their proof. But unfortunately, for the cyclic co-cycles, even for Hochschild co-cycles, its formula is quite more complicated than this one. You can write it down. So this is the one I want to present to you today. Okay? So to present you this formula, I need to introduce some notations. So first of all, I want to extend the Poisson tensor not just on Y algebra, but also on its tensor powers. So this is just extending the Poisson tensor. And we have here is an evaluation map. Okay. So just some notations. So in this transparency, I'm writing down the co-cycles. So this co-cycles is essentially integrating over this standard simplexes. Simplex into the R2k dimension. Here is R2k minus 1. So here we have exponential of the Poisson tensors summing over all ij's here. So ui, uj are coordinates on the simplexes. So coordinates for the simplex is essentially 0 equals u0 less than or equal to u1 until uk reaches equal to 1. Okay? So this. And in particular, what you can check is, if you take the highest one, k is equal to 2n, this was constructed by Fagan, Felder, and Schockerhead. Basically, this was in the approach of understanding this Tegan's chain formality conjecture. This now is proved. So in this conjecture, they discovered its highest power, highest co-cycle term. And what I want to state in today is this tall 2k together from all these low indices actually give us a BB co-cycle. Okay, so that so one remark about these expressions. So where are these expressions coming from? So this expression looks quite like the JLO co-cycles in the in the cyclic homology chain character formula. So here. Actually, the origin of this is also coming from certain quantum field theory, some topological quantum field theory. You take the path integral expansion respect to some action functional, you end up with these expressions. So some supersymmetric quantum mechanics. So in the next transparency, I would like to discuss properties of co-cycles we have. So the first property here, we do have this BB co-cycle. So you can compare the formulas with the chain, the cycles. Our formula is much more complicated. And furthermore, we are kind of looking at the operations on the chain complexes, and we're going to induce some operations on the co-chain complex. Our co-cycles actually is compatible with these operations. So let me give some remark about these operations, because I'm going to use this later. So here, on this, given as a, we have a contraction map. Basically, we are mapping k to k plus 1 by inserting the algebra element. So in the kind of differential geometry, just the contraction. And we can also have the lead derivation map. Basically, we take the commutators. So what we are saying here is, so this also is a crucial point in the later geometric construction. Inside this Y algebra, this is a polynomial algebra, we have degree terms. So we can look at quadratic terms, degree 2 polynomials, and we look at its commutator respect to the Moyard product I wrote down before. This actually is isomorphic to the symplectic algebra. So what this property is showing that is our co-cycles actually is invariant respect to this Lie algebra action. And it's also basic. So we're going to use this later on for the geometric construction. So that's the crucial property we want to emphasize. So this is about the local upcoming study about cyclic core cycles. We have explicit formulas, and we have these nice properties. So next step, what I want to do, as I said, beginning, we look at the local situation first, then we want to extend this to the global symbolic manifold. So we want to construct cyclic core cycles on a deformation and quantization. So fortunately, this morning, Yijing already gave us a review about deformation quantization. So let me say a little bit more about it. So what do we mean by symbolic manifold? So this has shown up in our conference several times. We mean we have a manifold with a two-form, which is a non-degenerated closed two-form. So you can just think about on the tangential bundle, we have a anti-symmetric bilinear forms, bilinear operations. Okay? This two-form is closed, so it's kind of integrable on the whole thing. So with this symbolic two-form, it is defined on tangential bundle. We can dualize it or take the inverse to define on the cotangent bundle using this expression. And this gives us a Poisson bracket on the algebra functions, if you want to say. Okay? So a typical example about the symbolic manifold is cotangent bundle of any manifold. So starting with any manifold, we can construct the cotangent bundle. It has a canonical symbolic two-form. So here I've chosen the coordinates here, but you can prove that this expression actually is independent of the choice of coordinates. So this is actually a globally defined object. Okay? So the kind of idea of deformation quantization goes back to this familiar object in analysis. So on the manifold, on the cotangent bundle, we have the simple calculus for pseudo-differential operators. So now, in the general symbolic manifold, we still want to think about this kind of, have some simple calculus. So here, this definition is a generalization of the simple calculus. We kind of introduce a star product, which is associative on the form of power series. You can see here the semi-classical term, the first non-trivial term in the power expansion, is this Poisson structure. And a crucial property will require the second one. Our product is local. So this will make the later computation easy, because we're basically playing with the infinite jets. We're essentially working on a near point. It's where this formal geometry will come in later. So we'll have a local operators. So we can have a shear operators on the other side. Okay? So here I briefly recall this Y algebra bundle. So I won't go into the detail about the connections, but I do want to emphasize the geometry here. What's on the geometry? So as we said, locally we have this Y algebras. So now we want to do theories. So I extend it into this W plus. This is a formal power series algebra. This is just to not only study local geometry, but also formal geometry. Okay? That's kind of formal completion. And then you can easily check the Mourelle product extended to this guy straightforwardly. Everything, all the core cycles still extends to here. And now here comes to this geometric construction. The crucial property here is our Y algebra is invariant under this symplectic group action. So because of this, we can take the kind of generalized infinite dimensional vector bundle. So this is an infinite dimensional algebra, fiber-wisely, and this in total is a vector bundle of infinite dimension. So what do we want to think about this algebra? There's no norm on here, but you can basically work with formal topology or the formal category here. You can think about the periodic H-bar, periodic topology here, and everything will, again, works well in a nice way. Okay? So that's the thing we're going to work with. We will not work with the norms or operator norms, just some H-bar topology, some formal geometry. And on this huge bundle, we have a connection. So the connection we're going to start is a symbolic connection on the tangential bundle. We lift it to the Y algebra bundle here. And the geometry here is if we start with this connection, we're going to have a curvature. And the curvature will be lifted to be a curvature of this wild algebra bundle. It's a two form with valued in the endomorphisms. Okay. That's the standard geometry, but in the infinite dimensional category. Okay. So in this transparency, we are kind of doing a resolution, or you want to say we are kind of extending the local pointwise wild algebra to a global constructions. So that's the idea Yijun explained to you this morning. So this construction goes back to Fedosov. He proved that we can find such an algebra valued one form. So I'm going to come back to this later, why we can choose this algebra valued one form. And the crucial property is if we change our symplectic connection by this one form, this new connection is actually flat. So we're having a vector bundle with flat connection. So if you are familiar with Chen Wei theory, we're going to be able to apply to this situation. We have a vector bundle with flat connection, all the characteristic classes. So the d squared is equal to zero, but we can still write down the curvature form associated to this expression. So that's the one we are writing down here. So because our d squared is equal to zero, what we can show is this omega is actually a two form inside of the center of this wild algebra. But for wild algebra, it's a very nice property. Its center is actually trivial, except for constants. So what we are having here, out of this whole construction, is a formal power series valued two form. And even starting with symplectic form and with high power series terms. Okay? And this was proved by less than Chigan. So any quantization is isomorphic to this construction using Fedosov construction. And the cohomology class of this omega actually classify these quantizations up to isomorphisms. So basically, here this theory is this omega will play a crucial role later in the characteristic classes point of view. Okay? They will classify our quantizations. So in this paragraph, Yijun already explained, given us such a connection, we can construct the deformation quantization. Basically, the kernel of this derivation is isomorphic to the algebra functions. And through this isomorphism, we can pull back products and introduce new products. But what I'm going to work with today is essentially on this sheaf of flat sections here, because that's where the geometry is. And we will kind of skip this algebra. Okay? So that's the construction we are having. And what do we want to do to construct the local co-cycles, glue them to a global co-cycles on the algebra I just introduced, this A capital D. So to do that, we need a little bit, operations again on the big chain complex. So this is the standard shuffle product. So I will not go into explain this too much. It's just some very algebraic constructions and with very nice property. In the case of classical situation, just corresponding to the wedge product or the car product. Okay? So in this transparency, I'm giving you some precise formulas. So this kind of precise, so what I'm giving you in this, so instead of giving you the co-cycles, I'm trying to providing you the density functions defining these co-cycles. So in the next transparency, I'm going to provide you the co-cycle formula, and here I'm going to kind of define you the trace densities, and this precise 2K should be viewed as kind of generalized trace densities. So here we have to use the property of tau 2K crucially. Remember, our tau 2K is symplectically invariant, and it's basic. So you can extend this guy to element here. So actually it's a well-defined global object because of this invariance property. And what we are doing is we are taking the shuffle product with the symplectic connection we have, and here are the sections of our wild algebras, of the wild algebra bundles here. So we should view this as point-wise construction, so we are restricting at every point x and doing this fiber-wise constructions. So what we are having here is psi is this, because A are forms. After we insert A, we're going to be again forms, some forms. You can see here that's the I form, but here it's eating 2k minus I plus 1, elements. So it's actually a kind of chain complex, co-chain complex, valued to, forms. Okay? So here I'm listing the properties of this densities. You can see here the Durham differential is commuting to the B and capital B cosines from the differential. So this is a crucial property for the trace densities later on. So now, having given you the trace density formula, I want to show you how do we construct these co-cycles. So here, giving any, so I'm kind of constructing a sheaf morphism. So I'm localizing to every open set. So I'm giving any forms here. We are taking the trace density and regularize the form and take integrals. Okay? So and what you can check is this expression actually satisfies this property. So if we have a closed two form, it's going to be mapped to BB co-cycles. It's going to be a circular co-cycle here. So here I have a sequence of maps. Let me see a few words about the sequence of maps. Why do we have this sequence of maps? So this is from the structure of this BB complex. Remember, we have a kind of bi-complex, looks like this. So we have C0, C1, C3, C1, C2, C1, C0, excuse me. C0, 1, and 0. Okay, it's kind of double complex. Okay, let me. And also we have another bicomplex of differential forms, omega 0, omega 1, omega 0, omega 2, omega 1, omega 0. So we are constructing circular co-cycles for the diagonal elements, like this. So given any two form, we can map to something here and something also here. Okay, my graph is a little bit messy, but basically because we are taking the total complex, so we have a lot of values can take. Because of that, we are having a sequence of maps here. Okay. Nice thing about this formula is, because we know on this particular complex we have the S morphism introduced by Kang. So our map is actually compatible with this S morphism. It's shifting by degree 2 element. So that's why it's property. So here I'm stating a general theorem about this quasi isomorphism. So if we're taking the total complex of the sheaf of differential forms, and here the total complex of cyclic co-chain complexes with this BB complex, we are actually having a quasi isomorphism. So that's this cyclic co-cycles constructed on this algebra. So now what we want to do is we want to algebraic index theorem. Yes. Okay. So this theorem is. Let me. This formula is just the Ornithine formula, but you can have differential is the Poisson differential. So that's differential. Yes. Okay. So here I'm kind of introducing framework I'm going to work with to prove algebraic index theorem. So we are kind of pairing the K-theory with the cyclic cocycles of an algebra. So what our starting point is, I mean, for the deformation quantization algebra, here I'm stating it for general algebra, I'm writing down this chain count character. You can check this is actually a cyclic cocycle with respect to the BB complex. And here, given some cyclic cocycles, so you can pair like cyclic chains with cyclic cochains, there's a natural pairing, and that's the pairing we want to compute. Okay, so this is a general setup. So now we want to focus on the deformation quantization algebra. So what are the key theory of this algebra? So this was actually proved by Fedosov. The key zero of this algebra actually can be represented by a pair of projections, P0 and P1. So to look at the key theory of this algebra is actually isomorphic to the key theory of the underlying manifold. So there are still the geometry again coming to here. So what we want to compute is essentially the cyclic cocycles we constructed before and pair with these projections. So that's the kind of algebraic framework we're going to work with in this setting. So now I want to compute this pairing, and to instead of working with the general, a pair of projections, I want to focus on the one special situation. And in this special situation, we can see how all the geometry come in. So here I'm going to focus on the situation M is compact symplectic manifold, and we're taking this special key theory element, the kind of the easiest one here. So we want to pair this constant function 1 with our cocycles. So by using the formula I just written down before, it's actually reduced to this expression. Okay? To this integration of our two forms with respect to this trace density. So what we need to do is essentially to figure out what is this expression of psi, this trace density formulas. So the whole machinery we're going to apply in the following of this computation is to use the algebra cohomology and the Chen-Wei theory to compute this expression. Okay? So to do that, let me recall briefly the kind of algebraic map relating Hochschild cohomology and the Lie algebra cohomologies. So this is kind of known to people in the early years about cyclic cohomology theory. So basically, we can have a very nice chain map from the Hochschild chain complexes to the Lie algebra cochain complexes. So here, by GLN, I'm considering n by m matrices with coefficient in A. And I'm taking the commutator algebras. So this is a Lie algebra. And we're having this map, which is a kind of very canonical map, from cyclic cochain complex to the Lie algebra cochain complex. So this is actually a chain map. So the nice thing about this is, if we had psi 1, this expression, we want to compute it, they actually can be realized as what the Lie algebra cocycles here. So I'm changing the original cyclic cocycles to the Lie algebra cocycles. And once we have Lie algebra cocycles, I can play with some geometry. For cyclic cocycles, I don't have geometry. Okay? So what you find is this expression actually is just the Lie algebra cocycle evaluated on the connection form. Okay, so here the connections come in and are constant. So what do we understand now is basically what is this capital theta? What can we say about this capital theta? So remember, capital theta is just our starting point, the cyclic cocycles on the Y algebra mapped down to this Lie algebra cocycles. So everything here is just algebra level, local computation. Okay. A nice property we can prove about this theta is if we evaluate 1, they are just the Lie algebra cocycles. So now, in this part, I'm kind of recalling the differential geometry we're having here. So we're having a, remember, we have a flat connection on this wire algebra bundle. So I want to play with Chen Wei theory. So what I want to do is I want to take the principal bundle for this vector bundle. That's the automorphism of this wire algebra. But that should be the group, the structure group. What is the D algebra of this structure group? Actually, the nice thing is this wire algebra, all derivations are inner. So we're using this property crucially, so you can have this exact sequence. So derivations used under commutators, we have the kernel that's just the constant element. Okay? So since we are having a flat connection here, so we will have a map using the standard Chen Wei theory from the D algebra cohomology of the D algebra of this structure group, that's this algebra, with respect to the basic elements mapping to the forms. Okay? So this is just the Chen Wei theory. So the nice thing is, if we look at this map, it's just by this co-cycle we have, the theta n 2k1 evaluated on the connections. So that's where our geometry comes in. So basically, we can relate the cyclic co-cycles to this V algebra co-cycles, and this expression actually is geometry. So what do we want to do next is essentially to rewrite this one into characteristic classes, because we're already down to the V algebra co-cycles here. Okay? So to tell you how do we compute this V algebra co-cycles, let me briefly recall the Chen Wei theory at the V algebra level. So where are all these later on, the characteristic polynomials coming up. So we have, remember, this V algebra with the subalgebras. So SP2N is inside here as quadratic terms, and GLN is inside here as constant terms. So they are just the subalgebras here. Okay. So in the study of, I think, in the D-algebra's cohomology theory, given us a D-algebra with a subalgebra, if we have a projection from one down to the other, we can construct such a characteristic polynomials. So this is purely, again, D-algebra theoretical construction, purely algebraic. And here, in our case situation, because everything is graded, so we can just take the projection down to this component. That's the projection we're going to take for our situation. We can projecting down to the degree 2 term and taking the constant term. That's the projection we're going to take. So that's the construction at the D algebra level. So now we can introduce characteristic classes for the GLN, that's the standard Chen character, and for the A-Roof class, for the spin Lie algebra. And the theorem we can prove is, inside of this Lie algebra cohomology, the element we're of interest actually is just these two elements. Okay? So here I want to kind of tell you, where is this Gelfand-Fuchs theory? Actually, the Gelfand-Fuchs theory plays the crucial role here. So here, the D algebra of formal vector fields on Rn is inside here. So remember, at the beginning we said, we can view this W2n as differential operators on Rn. So formal vector fields, they are just the differential operators. So what's the essential thing here is you can first compute this by the subalgebra, the Gelfand-Fuchs theory, and then you do every computation in the Gelfand-Fuchs cohomology, the formal invariance, formal Lie algebra. Okay? So that's the kind of Lie algebra technical property here. So with all these properties, I can summarize the theorem. So using the Lie algebra Chen Wei theory, so now two projections, they are actually form the K0 element of our deformation quantization. The pairing between a signal cocycle and such a K-theory element can be written in this way. Okay? So here are the standard term for the chain character, the A-roof class, and here is the characteristic classes I mentioned at the beginning, classified the deformation quantization. Okay? That's a term has to show up in the deformation quantization. So that's the theorem we proved in the algebraic degree. We are interpreting everything into the pairing between K theory and the cyclic cocycles. And we are using essentially this Lie algebra tools to computing such a pair. Okay? So in the next part, essentially the last part of my talk, I want to explain to you how do we relate this algebraic theorem to this Kahn's original theorem. So to do that, let me briefly recall Kahn's theorem in a way compatible with our approach. So here I briefly recalled this Alexander Spanikov homology. Okay. So here I'm stating it using this sheaf language, but essentially what we are having is, if we have a manifold, I use the Q. A manifold Q, we can consider algebra of functions on Q cross several copies of Q. And to have non-trivial cohomology, we need to modulo those functions vanishing on the diagonals. And that's the cochain complex for the Alexander Spanier cohomology. And on this cochain complex, we can introduce this differential. And that's the Alexander Spanier, the cohomology of this differential is the Alexander Spanier cohomology. So what Kahn and Moskovich did is, given us such as Alexander Spanier cohomology class, we can introduce a cyclic cohomology on the algebra of pseudo-differential operators, smoothing operators. Smoothing pseudo-differential operators. Basically, we take the kernel of the function of the operator and integrating them over this Q to the power K plus 1. Okay. And what we managed to prove is this expression actually is well-defined and is actually, if F is Alexander Spanikov homology cocycle, this is a cyclic cocycle. Okay. So what to relate this, to relate this analytic approach to our algebraic approach, we want to introduce the corresponding constructions on the formal level. Okay, so before I do that, I should recall this general theorem proved by Kahn and Moskovich. So basically, given us an elliptic differential operator, we can take its symbol. This one is defining a K1 of this sphere bundles. And if we take this map inside the exact sequence of the K-theory, we can map this element into the K0 of the smoothing pseudo-differential operators. So now we are having, given a differential operator, we are having a K0 element. We have cyclic cocycles, so we can pair this K0 element with this cyclic cocycle. And that's the high index introduced by Kahn and Moskovich. So what they did is they used this heat kernel technique to express this expression by topological data. Okay. So that's their theorem. So now we want to, as I said, we want to relate this framework to our formal framework. So what do we do is, given us a trace on the deformation quantization, we want to associate such a map, which mapping from the Alexander Spanier cohomology to the cyclic cohomology of the deformation quantization. Okay. And This map is written in this way, basically just to generalize the trace densities again, using the trace. So the nice property we can prove respect to the construction we had before is this non-commutative diagram. So the map we construct from Alexander Spanning cohomology to the Sickening cohomology is comparable with the map we had from Durham cohomology to the Sickening cohomology. So all these maps are actually compatible. So we can compute this map using this map. And this lambda is just this canonical identification, not canonical. You have to choose a Riemannian metric on M. By choosing that, you can construct a map from Alexander Spanning cocycles to Durham differentials. This was already written down in Kahn-Moskowitz. So here we have an algebraic approach. Again, on deformation quantization, we have a cyclic cocycles from Alexander Spanning cocycles. And in the previous transparency, we have cyclic cocycles and cohomology on the pseudo-differential operators. How do we relate this to framework? That's the symbol calculus I mentioned at the beginning. So on the cotangent bundle, we have this pseudo-differential operator symbol calculus. So I will not go into detail, but this. So basically, using this calculus, we can naturally define a quantization, and this quantization actually contains essentially all the properties about this pseudo-differential calculus. Okay? So what we can prove, through this identification is this. Moskowitz's original high index, written as the pairing between Alexander Spanning cocycle and K-theory element, through these maps, can be written as the Alexander Spanning cocycles pair with the deformation quantization element. And then through this commutative diagram, pairing with through this map, we are able to relate the algebraic index theorem to this original Kahn-Moskowitz index theorem. So I must point out this symbol calculus, a symbiotic symbol calculus for pseudo-differential operators to relate the deformation quantization to the analytic index theorem. The idea goes back to Lester Tegan and also Elliott, Latsume, and the Nest. So the kind of ideas you're using, the tangent groupoid idea, is equivalent to this. So what our contribution in this part is essentially this commutative diagram. So we can, using the simple calculus, we can really compare our construction and this construction. Okay. I have 5 minutes left. That's the theorem we kind of recover from for Kahn and Moskowitz. So in the last transparency, I'm kind of stating working on theorem with my co-authors about extending this whole machinery to orbifold. So what do I mean by orbifold? Abstract definition is they are topological space, locally homeomorphic to the quotient of Rm by finite group. Here I'm stating this theorem in this global quotient situation. I'm thinking of my orbifold as a quotient space of a manifold with a finite group action. So the thing is, we don't generally assume this action gamma on M is free. So there may be fixed point. So this quotient space may not be a smooth manifold. There may be some finite quotient singularities. Okay. So in this case, we can still talk about elliptic differential operators, and we can still talk about the K-theory and the pairings. So what we managed to prove is the given orbifold cyclic Alexander Spanning cohomology class is pairing with this pseudo-differential operators can be written down into this local data on each fixed point locus. Okay, so here we have this integration over the fixed point locus, C gamma is the centralizer of gamma inside the Orangian group. We have this, generalized quotient, and this information is essentially the information about the Lamo bundles. Remember, when we do localization to fixed point, we always have to take account of the information of the Lamo bundle. That's this part. And here is the geometry of the fixed point, and here is the geometry of the Orangian operator. Okay? So, let me give you a few ingredients, what we need to do to generalize our machinery to proof of orbifold cohomology, or orbifold index theorem. So, basically, to study this orbifold version, we need to present orbifold by a proper atomic groupoid. So, any orbifold has a nice representation of a proper atomic groupoid, and Morita equivalence class of this proper atomic groupoids is actually a one-to-one correspondence to orbifolds. Okay? So, instead of working with orbifolds, we are working with proper atomic groupoids and work with deformation quantization of the corresponding groupoid algebra. That is the thing we want to view as the generalized pseudo-differential operators algebra. Okay? So, and since here we have a group action, we need to generalize everything into equivariant setting. So we need to work with the gamma acting on wild algebra and computing its cyclic co-cycles. Okay? And of course, we need to use the geometry of groupoid on the orbifolds. This has been showing up in the study of cyclic cohomology about groupoids. So in, for example, the Bloch-Hilliard spaces and all the techniques by Brzezinski, Lister, and Kranich. So that's the kind of ingredients we need to use to prove this orbifold index theorems. So that's what essentially what I want to present. I want to stop here. Thank you. So CH gamma, I mean this one?
Yes.
Or this one?
What?
Both. Okay. So CH gamma, if we are given a matrix, it's just the trace gamma exponential x. Okay. So you have to take account of this local isometries. And that's the hope, but we have to pass through to the quotient, this first, and then present it to groupoids, and work in that category. And if you formulate this transverse elliptic operator as the object on the orbifold, that's essentially equivalent with these two definitions, then this theorem should apply to that situation. But you have to assume that the compact group, the isotopy is finite. You don't have like a circle isotopic groups.